Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Deep Dive with Tiffany and myself, Stephen. Now today we're talking football because it is the one sport that many folks in Singapore and across the world love, you know, but it's a bit of a love-hate relationship, especially when it comes to Singapore football.
Yeah, so, but many hearts were aflutter when the Singapore team qualified for the Asian Cup. Yeah, with a 2-1 win against Hong Kong.
Woo! Okay. I mean, I was so happy to hear that, but I got to admit, I was a little bit surprised because about a year back, we did a story about Singapore's football scene. We spoke to many people in the industry, you know, the FAS, even tracked down some of our young football scholars in Madrid, you know, and we asked all the hard questions and we didn't really get all the answers, you know. So that's why I'm saying, you know, it's been a tough journey. So I was pleasantly surprised when this happened.
So I'm a half glass full person.
Okay.
And I think things will take, you know, a bit of a turn with our recent win. So with former coach Tsutomu Ogura leaving in June this year, the question on everyone's minds was, who's the right man for the job?
Okay, well, we have found a man, and that man is Gavin Lee. He's jumped in, taken over the head coach position. He helped bring our team to win against Hong Kong, and many people are saying, well, just give him the job. Well, they've given him the job.
They did, yeah.
And now we've got him here in studio to ask him all about this job, because this job has a lot
at stake, you know, for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so welcome, Gavin. Welcome to our show.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You've heard us lay the groundwork, you know. How do you respond to that? People are saying, okay, man, now you've got it. Everything's on your plate. So how, as we say?
Well, I think first and foremost, I sit here in front of you as the head coach, but it's not just me doing the job. You know, there's a whole bunch of people behind me supporting the process, supporting the boys. And I'm only sat here today because of their work and the work of the players.
What was your initial reaction when you first found out that you were going to be head coach?
Well, it's not just that you're going to be the head coach, right?
It comes with everything.
Well, it was a process, talks, negotiations, and then when we landed on a place where we've got agreement and, you know, a lot of excitement because we've built something quite special in Hong Kong. And the question is how can we move it on and maintain the momentum, as we say.
So when they first offered you the job, when they say, good job, Gavin, you're going to get the job right now, was it an instant, yes, I'm going to do it? Or did you have some reservations? Did you say, can I go back and speak to my wife first?
Yeah, that was exactly what I said.
Because that is always the correct
wise
answer.
Yeah,
I always check
man.
In with my wife, regardless of what I've decided already.
There's something I've learned along the way. But yeah, it was something like this. And then me and my wife spoke. But at the same time, it was... it involved quite a few decisions or conversations with Forrest and the team as to what the expectations are, what's going to be the plan and how we're going to get there. And once we have got alignment in place, then let's do this.
Well, the thing is, now you have the job and these are big shoes to fill overall because we know we've had several different coaches come and go and a win didn't seem to come, you know, in that sense. But now you've got one. Expectations will be up there, you know, moving into
Asian Cup
in Saudi Arabia.
So there are still a lot of expectations. How do you feel about that? Because again, you know, as you say, it's usually not just a one-off, it's all part of a bigger plan.
Right? First and foremost, if there are expectations, that's a good sign, right?
Yeah.
People actually think you can do something compared to the past where maybe it was a little bit different set of expectations, if that makes sense. Right, people didn't expect us to. Right, so now the narrative is changing a little bit, and that's a positive. And the question is, it is now down to us to be able to fulfill those expectations, to turn more doubters to believers in that sense, and to bring more people along with us in the journey.
If you keep winning, people will be very happy, and there'll be more converts for sure. But you know, nobody can keep winning forever, right? Do you feel that there's that burden? Because you lose one, people are like, okay. You lose two, people are like, You lose three, it's like, time to change guy, man.
As I said at the start, it's all part of a bigger plan. So if Asian Cup is our objective, for example, and then every window leading up to it, it's an opportunity for us to prepare for Asian Cup. And in the process, we might look to play stronger opponents, stronger teams. And if you're playing stronger teams, then we must be prepared for certain potential undesired results.
Okay.
Right? Because it's all part of a plan. But if there's no plan and we go like, okay, let's play weaker teams just to get the wins. Mm. But will you be satisfied if we are winning those games compared to pushing ourselves, testing ourselves to a bigger purpose?
But the thing is, everyone I've spoken to, especially when I did that Talking Point episode, said they had a plan. They always had a plan. How is the plan different this time around?
Yeah, so first and foremost, there's a new administration in. And this time around, I think with some years of the UTR project going on already, so I think we're starting to see things come together, right? But again, the danger is we allow one result in Hong Kong to kind of define everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is a long journey. And like it or not, the national team is a journey that might not have a final destination. It's like an infinite game.
Right.
Right? The process or the journey will continue long after we're done. And so whoever's in this place, our job is to continue that progress, to make sure that we are actually just moving forward. Because even if we do something amazing, then tomorrow comes, it's like, what's next again?
Yeah.
What's next again?
Yeah. Because I think even in our line of work, we're always told you are only as good as your last project. So in this case, there's always going to be that pressure of, you know, people thinking that you're only as good as your last match.
Right. Yeah.
But what you were saying is that it's not true. But I think just to, you know, rewind a little bit, I think for people who don't know what UTR stands for, it's Unleash the Raw, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So the other thing I wanted to ask as well is that what are your immediate concerns or challenges that you think you would face now stepping in this role?
We have a plan to get us closer to Asian Cup. Mm. And part of the plan is to play stronger oppositions than us, oppositions that we're not used to. And so along the way, there will be a lot of bumps along the road, which is expected and which is what we want. Because if we want to normalize us playing against stronger teams, we must first go and play stronger teams.
Okay.
But in the initial part of the process, we might not get a performance. We might not get a result.
Mm.
And when we don't do that, then what happens? Are we just like, oh, it's not working, give up?
Mm.
Or are we able to come back onto the path and say, look, this is the plan. What are the positives? What can be better? And then can we go on again?
Okay,
so that will potentially be one of the biggest hurdles.
But that strategy could also be dangerous because you're basically saying we should play better teams, most likely lose to them first, and then learn from them. But if you keep losing, not only will it look bad for you, the guys may lose morale. Mm. And then to have that turnaround, it may be more difficult, right?
If we look back at September window, we played Malaysia.
Yeah.
Everybody asks, why you play Malaysia? They're so much stronger. Then we went to play Thailand. Why you play Thailand? Thailand is so much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we didn't get the wins, but in those games, you could see performance.
Okay.
Right? Because football is a game of chance. There's so many things that can happen, so many things that can go wrong. And it's like, for example, 89 minutes, you might be very, very good, and then one referee mistake, the result goes the other way. And so for us, at least, we must assess our journey with the performance first. And we trust that if you get enough right than wrong, then the results will follow, right? But if we allow the results to be the be-all and end-all, that might be a little bit tricky place to be in.
So are you managing our expectations? Are you telling us, I'm going to put the guys through really difficult matches? We may not win the next few ones, but that's because it's all going to be part of their learning journey, so to speak.
It's always important for not just the players, the staff, the organisation to know what the idea or what the plan is, right? It's important that the rest of the ecosystem, the fans and the supporters also appreciate what we're trying to do. Because if they're not clear with what we're trying to do, then you know they might misinterpret what's happening in that regard.
Yeah, I think the messaging needs to be very clear. I mean, as a person watching in, I honestly didn't know that was the plan, to start playing with stronger teams so that we can also gain some experience to the regular football watcher. It would just be, you want to see the team that you love win games.
Yep.
But I want to talk about this team that you are building. I think when Coach Ogura decided to step down in June 2025, he had also a very huge impact, right, on the team. And I remember one quote that you said. You said that he helped to lay a strong foundation for you, which helped you when you took over as interim head coach. Mm. I want to know, what sort of strong foundation did he lay? What was the team like then, and what did he do to turn things around?
it's not just with regards to the players. If you talk about the team, right, it's about the staff, the workflows, the work processes. Right. And he came from Yokohama Marinos, which is a J1 top flight team, and he came with a lot of clarity as to what things can be done better, how they can be done better. So in that sense, he really prepared us for more success, if that makes sense.
Right.
Because we were operating more efficiently, and then because when all your preconditions are in a better place, the players have got a set of better environment to go and work in. Mm. So that was something he was very good at.
Mm. Yeah, so it's almost like he changed the corporate culture. It sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
The way things work, the operating system.
Yeah. Mm.
Then
yeah.
One would ask, are you now reaping the rewards of what he sowed?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, we cannot forget that I was initially continuing his work.
Yeah.
You know, and without what he did initially, then I would have to start the process again, or to begin with. So he helped us save some time.
Okay.
Right? And then it's about having that continuity in terms of the ideas on the pitch as well, and giving continuity to the players. That was important. But at the same time, trying to improve what's next. So mm-hmm. he has helped us to get to this level. How can we push again?
So what do we need to, you know, what is the extra step that you need to take now that you are taking over the top position?
Yeah, so first and foremost for players and staff is to normalize us playing against teams that we don't normally play against.
Oh, so nobody likes to play, like, you know, the tough teams, is it?
As humans, we don't like difficult moments, do we? Difficult stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you want to grow a muscle, you need to overload the muscle to make it bigger, stronger. So same as a team, right? If you want to become better, you need to push yourself, as we always say, test yourself. How do you test yourself? Better teams.
Okay.
Right? So I think now we've arrived to a stage like before in the past where if we play ASEAN teams, we are quite comfortable again. Right, based on the recent games against Thailand and Malaysia that we've played, but the question is, can we replicate it with teams, Asian teams outside of ASEAN, right? Because if we can do that, then that's another sign of progress.
And are we there yet, or are you saying it's going to take some time?
Well, we just started this process, so we will definitely give it a very good push, very good try, with the team, with the staff, but football is very unpredictable. We might get there very, very quickly. Okay. We might take a little bit of time, but there are no guarantees.
So in that sense, if I ask you about World Cup dreams, then they're still far, far, far away.
You never know. We might reach there sooner than everybody expect, or we might not, or we might take a little bit longer time. I don't think anybody can give you a very certain answer.
Mm.
Again, it's about managing expectations, yeah. Right? You're saying now we seem to be at a certain level where in ASEAN, you know, we feel pretty comfortable, you know, and we can compete with them. So it's going to that next level.
Yep.
And then to keep climbing that ladder, so to speak.
Yep.
But it's just what kind of a timeline? Because you know how we are in this day and age where everyone wants things happening fast, and people are going to say, come on, Gavin, I've given you 5 years. Look, the results are still a bit dismal. What are you going to say to them?
Yeah, first and foremost, my current contract is 18 months.
Okay, well, not even that.
No, but we're very clear from the get-go. Yeah. It's about Asian Cup. How do we get ourselves to the Asian Cup? How do we continue this progress to Asian Cup? But at the same time, we are also always looking at what's next, what's after. How do we leave a stronger foundation for the next person, right? How do we leave the shirt in a better place, right? And that's all an ongoing conversation. But I must say again, with the new administration, with Forest and team, there are a lot of possibilities, there are a lot of opportunities, and now it's our time to take them and try to expedite the process.
You mentioned the new administration a few times. Why is that so significant in the scheme of things?
The management gives you, first of all, direction. The clearer the direction, the easier for us to follow, to work towards, to align people. And with resources, there are more possibilities, right? And so that is something that the new team has brought in, which is very important for us.
So it was misaligned before and there was a lack of resources?
I did not say misaligned.
It was, I'm just wondering because, yeah.
No, it is an improvement.
Yeah.
It is an improvement. But improvement from how much, time will tell.
It must be difficult in your position. You say you have 18 months to get there, right? Mm. But as far as I know, with the players that you have in the national team, you don't get them every single day to train together because everyone has a professional job. You know, they play for their own clubs as well. Yeah. So how do you manage it in such a way where that 18-month timeline is feasible for you to put together a national team that works well together, they understand each other's play, they respect you, they trust you? How do you do that?
Yeah, it's impossible task.
Oh, okay, so.
But and that's why I said, like, whatever the, because we see the tip of the iceberg, which is the national team, but the national team is out there as a consequence of everybody's efforts in Singapore, because they spend more time with their clubs than us, right? So it's everybody coming together, then we will have a better national team. But when they do come on board, spend time with us, then my job is to reduce as many question marks as possible, so that we're on the same page. We know where we're going. We know what we're going to do. We know how we're going to play. And we don't change that too often from window to window. And that helps in terms of building what we want to build. And so clarity and direction, again, is very, very important.
So they get the technical skills, everything, while they are, you know, with their own clubs. That's part of their ecosystem. But then when they come together as a team, that's where you can sort of lay out more tactics and strategy.
To be honest, when we are in together, oftentimes we only have two training sessions before the first game. So there's not a lot you can do. So our job is to make sure that we are just all on the same page. Like, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
This is how we're going to play. Let's try to stick within this as much as possible. And that's why normally the second game we play in the window is often better, because we have already some time together. And what we want is just try to build and build and build. And hopefully we don't start from a lower level than where we finished in the last window.
With the current team you have right now, would you say that they are all on the same page? Is everyone like-minded in their vision? I mean, because again, you know, from what I've heard sometimes, that not everyone gets along, not everybody has the same idea of where we're heading, you know, and you don't want to be, sorry, for lack of a better word, goalless, literally and metaphorically, you know. I mean, right?
Yeah. But that sounds like every team.
You will never have a perfect situation where everybody is completely aligned, everybody, you know, but so how do we get majority in the same direction? Right, and it helps. To be honest, we are very fortunate that, for example, the Hong Kong game, or rather the overarching goal was, can we qualify for Asian Cup? And that goal in itself just unites so many people together.
Okay.
Right, and then now it's Asian Cup, so we want to do well. We want to perform, do well in Asian Cup, and that is a very powerful
glue that brings people together, right?
Exactly. And it's like a compass, you know, like that's where you want to go.
Can I ask, what is your definition of perform well in the Asian Cup? What does that mean? What does that look like? Like, is it by number of goals? Is it by the number of matches we win or not lose?
If we look at context first, this would be our first time playing Asian Cup or having qualified by merit, right? And so it's like, again, steps. This is our first time qualifying. Our next target should be, can we qualify again? Qualify again. And once qualification is a norm, then we can talk about bigger things. Oh, we should be trying to get more points, to qualify with a group. Because right now, we just made the first step.
Yeah.
Right? Can we make this first step a stable platform? And then we go to the next step. And that's how you build sustainable progress.
So we have to wait for the next cup to come to see whether we are normalizing.
It will be a sign of our, whether we can sustain our efforts and progress in that,
like, sense. The maturity of our team and the systems that we are building.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Let's talk about sustainability, because again, it's all part of a larger ecosystem where you have to start training the young ones, you know, to feed into the team later on. Some analysts have said that basically right now we don't have enough of an A team, or we have a very lean A team. The moment they're out, you know, the second tier is not as good or good enough to kind of compete in that. What would you say to these people? Because they say that we just don't have enough young players coming into the system and therefore rising up to the ranks.
We have a strong core group of players.
Yeah.
We have young players knocking on the doors, but they would probably need a little bit more time to adapt to the demands that are asked from them at the A internet or a men's national team. Mm. But I have seen enough evidence at a youth level with what people are trying to accomplish, that people are trying, and there will be more players coming through, right? Mm. But it's not going to be instant.
It will take time, right?
It will always take time. I know that's what everybody don't want to hear, because everybody wants something yesterday, right? Like it or not. But this is a developmental process, and if we get more things right in this process, then hopefully more will come through, right? But it doesn't help that we are maybe a little bit smaller than other countries in terms of population. So absolute numbers in itself, we already start at a lower point.
Yeah.
So the question, how can we maximize it? How can we get even more through? And those are the questions that we're trying to answer every single day.
Are you confident that what we have in place right now will allow for that? Because again, I mean, like last year I went to Madrid, I saw some of our young guys, you know, they're playing with in the Spanish leagues and playing with the teams there. So they will get a lot of this experience. Mm-hmm. But the question is, we don't even know if they're really going to come back and join us because they're like, what, 12, 13, 14 years old right now. So do we have enough of that whole ecosystem to journey our players through it, you see?
What I do know is there are enough people in the ecosystem with the right intentions to get the national team, that sort of end goal that we want, or to have those players coming through. There are enough people putting time and effort and their love into this process. Unfortunately, again, like I said, it will take time. You said you went to Madrid, you saw, what, 12, 13 euros?
Yeah.
So it would take another, what, 10 years for them?
Wow.
Maybe to see them in the national team, because realistically, maybe 2022, if they're good enough, at 2022, you will start to see them, right? So, but at the same time, this gap, 10 years, many things can happen. And that's why it's always like a pyramid, right? You start at a bigger base, and then because of many different things, then you will end up with a smaller number than you started with.
Yeah. I like how you mentioned about many things can happen within this 10-year period, because I think some of the more immediate challenges I can think of is things like pay, right? I mean, if they can get a corporate job or something. I mean, like I was brought up in that generation where my parents would be like, get a corporate job.
Need another job? That's a question. Because right now, our football players have to have a day job because they can't survive just playing football.
Mm.
Which of course means they cannot dedicate themselves 110% to the sport, right?
To be fair, I think most players now in the league are main job is football.
Okay.
Right? The question is, how do we increase that base? Mm. Right? And hopefully we have more players coming through. So now, for example, we have the likes of Glenn Quay, I think, who has gone through the uni system and showed that, look, I can make a career out of football and I'm enjoying doing it. I'm decent at doing it. So what we probably needed was that role models.
Okay.
People that say, oh, it's actually possible.
Right.
I want to be like him.
Mm.
Right. And then that might open more doors for the future generations to come through.
I mean, you yourself, you're a role model. I saw the media coverage and, you know, with your parents talking about you and they're very proud of you. And, you know, you went through, I guess, the sort of the safe route that Singaporean parents were like, you know, go and get a degree first, but at the same time, be able to now pursue what you love, right? Because you've done this coaching thing as well. But I think there will be, I guess, a lot of different things that the youths of today will be considering, right? Not just about pay, but things like, you know, family commitments, their education, and not all of us, I guess, will be in that privileged position to be able to pursue this as a full-time career. So what do you say to like young people who really want to pursue that as a passion but as a career?
I think so two parts of my answer. First one is, I think every job has different considerations, right? So whatever you just said can be applied to any other jobs as well. Secondly, I think we have seen enough evidence amongst our players, and maybe if you use me as an example, that if you truly, truly want something, you know, if you truly understand your why and you know what you want to get, then you will go through any how to get there. Mm. You will overcome everything that's thrown at you. You will try to answer all the difficult questions that are posed at you, and you just get going. And then if you do your job well enough, more things will come.
Yeah, I mean, if we keep winning, sponsors will come back, start putting money in the game, and that of course, you know, feeds into the
will
whole
help,
ecosystem
actually.
And it will help and eventually that can lead to higher pays for the guys as well. So
for sure,
it is unfortunately a bit of a chicken and egg.
I know they hate it
when I say this term, but so many things in life, it is a chicken and egg. So which came first, the chicken or the egg? Never mind that
it's a tough one, that one.
I think even with our recent qualifying for the Asian Cup, it seems like, you know, Forrest Lee was saying that there were a few people who actually wrote into him or texted him to say, we would like to be able to help out, you know, with this ecosystem. So in that way, are you sort of happy with the fact that we are headed towards the right direction where we can actually put in more money, not just to spend it on, say, the Singapore Premier League, but, you know, to spread it across other places as well, maybe even the younger, with the youths of today?
Yeah, so when I heard that was so pleasing to hear, right? It shows that people want to help, people want to support the journey. Yeah. And that's why I think within the national team, the very first thing that it's our guiding principle is that we want to give the people a national team that they can be proud of. Because if that is true, then the consequences of that will... There are many positives that can come out of it, right? You give people the pride, the joy, and then you get the results along the way. And then like now, you see people wanting to give back, wanting to contribute. And that can only help the entire ecosystem.
Mm. Remove the head coach cap for a bit.
Oh, that's tough.
But how do you deal with pressure? The pressure to, you know, where people are always asking you, how are you going to deal with the next match? What are you going to do? Like, what is your coping mechanism on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's not okay.
Do you sleep? Do you eat? Do you do extra work at the gym?
I think we all got to sleep and eat. You know?
Yeah, I don't think he does, you know. You are waiting for his answer.
Yeah, it's not easy because your brain can play tricks on you.
Yeah.
Right. And it's all about managing your brain. It's about reframing messages, reframing the thoughts that might pop up in your head. It's not always positive. I think all of us go through that. And it's about finding or reminding yourself what's the purpose and why you're in here and what's your goal. And, you know, just focus on the work. And I found that has to be most useful for me.
Mm.
Along with exercise.
Oh, exercise. Okay, so that's a non-negotiable for you every day.
Yeah. I mean, I think he gets to, you know, play football every day.
No, I don't think he does. he has to put in the extra work, right?
I don't get to kick a ball.
He has to stand there and shout at people.
Yeah, I shout at them to kick a ball.
But he gets to tackle his problems one day at a time.
Okay.
And at the very least, he'll get a kick out of it.
Wow, double pun. Ah, he was waiting for it.
He's been saving that.
He's been saving it. Yeah, I'm done this stroke.
But Gavin, we are, you know, excited and we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
We hope to have you back one day, you know, hopefully with even more good news, talking about the next step ahead, you know?
When he renews that contract, you know, after 18 months, he gets another contract again.
Yeah.
Come back to us.
Looking forward to that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. Well, guys, you've heard it here, you know, on Deep Dive. Football is one of those things we truly love, so we hope that you guys are all enjoying the sport as well. And let us know your comments, because I know many people have a view about this, so let us know what you think about it. We do love to hear from you. Do you know how football players stay cool during a game?
How?
They stand next to their fans.
Bye.